This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Great friends, let's pray together. God, we want to thank you that you are so good. We want to thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, come and make these words alive to us. We want to receive from you. We thank you that even though we are connecting on a screen, I pray, God, that you will come, break into our lives, reveal yourself, and may we know you more and may we experience you deeper. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, it's such a delight that I get to get into God's word. This is our last installment of our series that we called The Sign, the seven major signs that Jesus performed that's found in the book of John. And we know that these seven miracles, these seven signs, point to deeper truths. And I believe that we are getting to know who Jesus is better, but we're also getting to know what he came to do, and we're seeing how he reveals his glory and how that applies to our life. I believe that this sign that Jesus performed is one of the most important signs. This is what makes such faith in Jesus apart from any other religion or any other way of life. Faith in Jesus is different because of this reality. And we're calling it notifying Lazarus to come forth. Notifying Lazarus to come forth. Literally speaking about the resurrection. Now Jesus comes and he doesn't only reveal that he's going to come and die. Remember he spoke in the first miracle, John chapter 2. We saw that he said, I'm going to provide the wine for my own wedding. And he also spoke about the fact that he's going to be more than enough. He spoke about the fact that he's going to do supernatural things. Come and set us free from blindness. And literally give us eternal sight and be the light of the world. But today we're going to look at the fact that Jesus is revealing to us that he's the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He was not only resurrected, but he is the resurrection and the life. I see how Jesus only spoke in this miracle and a lot of things happened. I know that Paul writes in his letter to the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says that I might know him. I want to know Christ. And then he says this, and the power of his resurrection. Now, I've often asked myself, what does this mean? I believe that God wants us to live a resurrected life. He wants us to live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wants us to experience that resurrection and then live in newness of life. Jesus doesn't want you and me just to have a temporary life or an earthly life or a self-sustaining life. He wants us to have an eternal life. And we're going to get into John chapter 11. There are so many verses to read. So we're going to take some of the highlights. I want to encourage you to read some of these verses for yourself. But I believe that God wants to come and bring resurrection into your family. He wants to bring resurrection into your marriage. He wants to bring resurrection even into your financial management and even into your personal health and even into your relationship with God, your intimacy with Christ. I believe God wants to bring about resurrection power in your intimacy with Christ. If there's anything dead in your life, if there's a dead promise in your life, if there's anything that you kind of have given up on and is maybe right now in the grave and it feels like it's too late, I'm here to say to you that this sign, this miracle speaks right into your heart. Right there where you are, would you open your heart and receive from God? It says in verse 3 of John chapter 11, it says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, the one you love is sick. So you must understand that Lazarus was close to Jesus. And I believe that the reason why they chose Lazarus for the sign and the reason why Jesus did it with Lazarus is because he loved Lazarus. And I believe that the reason why God wants to bring about resurrection power in your life is not because you and I deserve it, but because he loves us. It says in verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Watch this. He's saying this sickness, this challenge, this issue that is life-threatening, this issue maybe of the mistakes you've made, the sins you've committed, or the way you've fallen short will not end in death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Watch this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I believe God wants you and me to understand today that no matter what you face, it's not going to end in death. Jesus didn't say it won't go through death. Jesus didn't say it won't face death. Jesus said it won't end in death. I love this, is that Jesus wants to reveal his glory, the glory of God. That's why He's doing this miracle. He will be glorified through it. And I believe that when you and I experience resurrection life, Jesus is glorified in our life. I love how he's working in the day and not in the night. Remember last week we spoke about Jesus working in the day. He's the light of the world. And I'm here to say to you, friends, that Jesus Christ did not come to make bad people good. No, Jesus came to make dead people alive. That's what this miracle is all about, and that's what Jesus is all about. Verse 11 of John 11 says, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. Now, you must understand a few things. Number one, where Lazarus was life-threatening for Jesus. So Jesus was risking his life in order to bring life to Lazarus. That's exactly what he came to do. He risked his life. He came from heaven to earth. He risked his life so that he can bring resurrection to you and to me. He actually came to a place where he knew people would kill him. And this is exactly where they knew that the people, the teachers of the law, were plotting against him, and they were plotting to take his life. But he was willing to put his life on the line, to lay down his life so that he can bring us eternal life. I love this. And then he says this, he prophesies and he says, I'm going to wake Lazarus up. So now Lazarus is dead and Jesus calls it, he's fallen asleep. And he says, I'm going to wake him up. I love this about Jesus. When you engage with Jesus, you must understand that Jesus speaks the things that be not as though they were. Jesus speaks by faith. He declares already the end from the beginning. He declares that he's going to wake Lazarus up. Verse 12 of John 11 says, his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. Verse 14 and 15 says, so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And the awakening that I'm talking about is not a natural awakening. It is a resurrection. It's not just waking him up from his sleep. No, it's actually resurrecting him from the dead. And I'm here to say to you, some people think that they're only asleep. Some people think that they're only asleep and they're going to wake up by themselves. But I'm here to say to you, if you're far from God today, you do not have a relationship with Jesus, or you've got a family member or a friend that does not know Jesus, I'm here to say to you, friends, they are engaged in eternal death, eternal separation from God. There's no way of life to them unless Jesus Christ speaks, come forth over their life, unless they respond to the come forth calling of Jesus. Unless they respond to Jesus, they will die in death and they will not wake up. They will have eternal death and not eternal life. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. Let us go to him. I love this. Remember what we've learned over the last 6 weeks. We've actually learned over all these six miracles. We've seen that every miracle that Jesus has done, number one, speaks of who he is. Number two, speaks of what he's come to do. Also, number three, manifests his glory. And number four, unlocks faith in the disciples and unlocks faith in our hearts. As you and I engage with this miracle, can we say, Jesus, I want to believe. Empower me in my faith. See, Jesus shows us that he will often allow us, in this miracle, he shows that he will often allow us to come to the end of ourselves, to come to dying to ourselves, to come to the place of desperation, come to the place of hopelessness, to come to the place of we've got no more answers. He'll allow us to come to the end of ourselves, to the place of hopelessness, where we are coming to the end of trusting in ourselves so we can come to the start of trusting in him. Jesus allowed Lazarus to die. Many people say, and I've heard this song, even though he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Friends, maybe in that situation, maybe right now with that child, you're feeling like, Lord, you're 4 days late. I'm hopeless. I'm desperate. I'm at the end of myself. Maybe you're in such deep debt that you're at the end of yourself and you're like, Lord, I just don't know. I can't see it. God's like, it's time that you shift, that you start doing my will, my way. It's time that you stop trusting in yourself and you start trusting in me, in my will, and in my ways. See, Jesus will allow us to come to death so that resurrection life can be breathed into us. That's what Paul's writing. He's saying, he's actually the context of Philippians 3. He says, I've accomplished all these things, but I count them as nothing. I count them as garbage, some translation says. He says, some translation says, I count it as dung. He says, I look down on all my accomplishments because, he says, they are worth nothing compared to Christ. And then he says, that I might know Christ and the power of his resurrection. See, resurrection life comes when you and I experience death. When we come to the end of Mark Bailey, or you come to the end of yourself, that's when the resurrection life starts appearing. That's when you start experiencing resurrection life. Jesus wants to reveal himself to you as the resurrection and the life. He wants you and me to experience resurrection power. It might be in that career of yours. It might be in that marriage of yours right now. It might even be in your faith in Jesus and you saying, Lord, I've come to the end of myself. And God's like, now, trust me, let my resurrection power fill you. See, friends, Jesus wants to allow us to trust him, to believe in him, and to look to him and not to look to ourselves. Verse 16 of John 11 says, then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us go that we may die with him. That's amazing. Friends, let us go that we may die with him. I'm amazed how Thomas was obviously doubting here as well. But it was true that if they went there, their lives would be in danger. Their lives were threatened. And friends, I've learned this, is that following Jesus means that you and I need to be willing to take up our cross and follow him. Jesus said, he says, whoever would lose his life for my sake would gain eternal life. This is, friends, is if you and I are willing to come to the end of ourselves, if we're willing to lose our lives, if we're willing to die to our ideas and our pride and our arrogance, we can tap into eternal life. Just the other day, I was running with Francho in the church, and Francho and I was running together, and we often like praying together, and I told Francho, I'm so upset with my neighbor, and I said my neighbor's gone, and he's complained about the wall between us, and now I'm going to fight him. I'm going to go to the lawyers, and I'm going to prove to him that I'm not going to pay for this wall that my neighbor wants us to erect. And Francho listened to me and said, Mark, it sounds to me like you're quite upset with your neighbor. And I thought, it's true. I realized something happened in my heart that's not from God. And the Bible says we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, I know he's speaking about those that we know, but I mean, my neighbor lives right next to me. He is someone that God wants to reveal his love and his life to through me. And Francis said, maybe, Mark, maybe you should just operate in the opposite spirit. If your neighbor is attacking you, maybe you should operate in the opposite spirit. So I said, sure, you're right, Francho. I'm sorry. I'm going to die to myself. Now, friends, I'm a bit of a fighter. So I didn't want to just lie. So I said, Lord, forgive me for my arrogance and for my pride and for my reaction. And I decided to phone my neighbor up and say, hey, my friend, I'm so sorry. I hear that you're upset. How can I help you? And we've been able to resolve the issue just in the last few weeks. We've been able to resolve the issue. And I've been able, obviously, it's come at a great cost for me. It's come at some dying to me. But I believe that it's better to yield to the Holy Spirit. It's better to operate in God's way than to operate in the ways of the world. And friends, I know we mustn't just be walkovers, but often, sometimes, friends, if I get proud and I get arrogant and I get a bit angry, I know that something in me has literally got to die. Something in me has got to humble himself. And so Mark Bailey had to get off the throne of Mark Bailey and let Jesus be the Lord of the situation. And I'm so grateful today, friends, that I've chosen that, because we're on our way to the U.S. And the last thing I want is a legal matter while I'm on the other side of the world. And I could have engaged in that, but God said to me, just let it go. And it says in verse 37 of John 11, it says, but some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Isn't that amazing? Last week we looked at the fact that Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind. And he came to open not only the eyes of that one blind man, but your blindness and my blindness. But listen to this. He's saying, if he could open blind eyes, couldn't he stop Lazarus from dying? If he could open blind eyes, couldn't he have kept this man from dying? And God's saying, no, no, no. Because I can open blind eyes, I will not only keep you from dying, but I'll resurrect you when you do die. I will not only keep you from experiencing pain, but I'll actually bring resurrection life to you. My understanding of even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fire, it's almost like they, in a sense, died to themselves, and then Jesus Christ appeared, and then they resurrected out of the flames, just like Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and in a sense, he was thrown into a place of coming to the end of himself, and then the next morning, he was alive, just like Jonah was caught in the fish, and the Bible says he was swallowed up, and he was there for 3 days and three nights, almost in a sense of coming to the end of Jonah, so that when he was spat out, he came to the start of his God. I believe that God once allows a guy like Lazarus to die so that he can bring him out of death and into life. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, just like he wants to raise that promise from the dead, just like he wants to raise that relationship that you have with your child from the dead. Jesus did not come to make good people or bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Let's look at verse 38 and 39 of John 11. It says, then Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Verse 39, this is so powerful. Jesus said, take away the stone. Watch this. Jesus saying, take away the stone. Friends, often what comes between resurrection life and our death, what comes between those two is a stone. Is a stone wall that keeps people dead. And friends, we must understand that Jesus was very, very intentional when he said, take away the stone. They could have taken it away, or he could have just said nothing and just pointed, move it across. But he said, roll away the stone. Take away the stone. Why, friends? Why? Friends, up until Jesus' life, people put their hope. Their relationship with God was based on what was written on stones, on tablets of stones. They put their hope in religion. They put their hope in performance. They put their hope in self-righteousness. They put their hope in adhering to the letter of the law. But Jesus said, he said, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. The spirit gives life, but the letter kills. When you put your hope in the law, you'll be bound in dead religion and you'll stay dead. My prayer for you and me today is that we will not put our hope in our ability to keep the law, but we'll put our hope in the one that's not only been resurrected, but the one that is the resurrection and the life, and the one that's calling you and me to come forth out of our dead religion, to come forth out of our dead works, to come forth and let the stone be rolled away. Let the stone be rolled away. Jesus, the day that he was resurrected, the Bible says the stone was rolled away. The stone speaks of condemnation. The stone speaks of guilt. The stone speaks of man's efforts. And the Bible says the stone was rolled away, and then they encountered the resurrected Christ. I believe that resurrection comes when you and I allow God to set us free from condemnation. Because the Bible says there's now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Then it goes in Romans 8, it says, the law of the Spirit gives life, but the law of sin and death gives death. The wages of sin is death, friends. And the law is just on tablets of stone. Jesus says, now I want to write my words, my truth, my ways on tablets of flesh on your hearts. God wants to set us free from trusting in the law. Friends, you cannot experience resurrection life if you trust in the law. If you trust in doing good so that God can be good to you. If you're trusting in your efforts, if your faith is more in yourself, friends, then you'll be bound in death and you'll not experience resurrection life in Jesus' name. I'm really sad to say that. The other thing that happened, and we read this in the other part of verse 39 says, but Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he had been in there for 4 days. Listen, friends, I've seen this. I've seen that, number one, when God rolls away the stone of condemnation and he rolls away the stone of the law and he brings about resurrection life, often, friends, when God's calling you to take hold of your resurrection, you've got to persevere through a bad smell. God spoke to me so powerfully. He said to me, he said, there's a bad smell that you've got to persevere through. There's an uneasiness, and it's very, very uncomfortable to engage with resurrection life. If God's calling you to be resurrected in a relationship, but sometimes that means you need to say sorry. You need to persevere through the bad smell of sorry, of saying sorry, asking for forgiveness in order to restore a relationship. If God is saying, no, I actually want you to be able to honor me in your finances and experience resurrection, there's a bad odor of sometimes owning up and saying, Lord, forgive me for being greedy. That's what I had to do. I had to say, Lord, I was greedy. Please forgive me. I had to persevere through the bad odor in order to take hold of resurrection life. Friends, when the stone gets rolled away, there's often we've got to face sometimes things in our hearts that we do not like. Sometimes there's a bad odor that we need to persevere through. Like when with my neighbor, I was not wanting to phone him. I was not wanting to engage with him. I did not want to humble myself. But God said to me, persevere through the bad odor so that you can experience the resurrection on the other side. I'm here to say to you, friends, if you have been holding a grudge against someone and you've been hurt by someone, I'm here to say to you, forgiving them is painful and letting go of that bitterness is painful. But if you can persevere through the bad odor, you can get to the end of that and you can experience resurrection life. If you've been offended by someone and you need to release them, you need to persevere through that bad odor in order to experience eternal life. Verse 40 of John 11 says, then Jesus said, did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you believe, so forgive by faith, humble yourself by faith, persevere through the bad odor by faith, roll away the stone by faith, believe in God and he will be glorified in you and through you. In Jesus' name, verse 41 says, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And he says, I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. I'm here to say to you, friends, resurrection life comes when we speak to the Father. Resurrection comes, life comes when you and I understand that God always hears us. He answers our prayers. He listens to our prayers. And Jesus said this for the sake of others. And yet he's also saying this for the sake of you and me, that you and I would understand that God hears us. We are his sons. We are his daughters. He hears us. Let's look at verse 43. It says, when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I love this. A preacher once said, he said, God had to call Lazarus because if he just said, come forth, multitudes would have come out of graves because Jesus was calling for resurrection life. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Come out of the grave. Come out of the death. Come out of the disappointment. Come out of from behind the law. Come out from behind your self-righteousness. Come forth and into eternal life. Come out of eternal death and into eternal life. I love the fact that Jesus calls him by name. Because today, if you're far from God, I'm here to say to you that God knows you by name and he's calling you by name. He's calling you by name to come out of death into life, out of darkness and into light, out of being blind and into a place of being able to see, out of being deaf and being able to hear him. God wants to call you into newness of life, and he calls you and me by name. I love how Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones, and God's like, you've got to prophesy, Ezekiel. You've got to speak life. And then the dry bones started living again. I believe that the dead areas of our lives, we need to speak to those dead areas. When last did you speak life over those dead areas? When last did you name them by name? Because God wants to bring resurrection power, not only eternally in us, but also in every area of our lives. It says in verse 44, it says, the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Watch this. Take off the grave clothes. Take off the linen, the stuff that blocks your vision, the stuff that's limiting you, the stuff that is holding you back, the stuff that still smells like death, the stuff that reminds you of your past, the stuff that reminds you of your condemnation. Take away the grave clothes. In 2022, I believe God wants each and every one of us to be free from the grave clothes. He wants us to be free from the stuff that reminds us of the failures and the disappointments of the past. He wants us to be free from the things, the things that are holding us back. Friends, what's holding you back? What's holding you back right now? Is it the way you see yourself? Is it the fact that you just cannot let go or even forgive yourself? Is it what you said in the past? Is it maybe how you treated that person? What's holding you back? Maybe someone did something to you and that's holding you back. What's holding you back? Maybe it might be a failure or a career, a loss in a career somewhere. Maybe a business deal that has gone bad. What's holding you back to believe again, to engage with the resurrection power of Christ? Friends, you and I are alive. Do not keep death on you while Jesus has called you to live. Ah, it's amazing because Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, everyone thought, well, this is the end. But he prophesied about himself in John, and he said this. He says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it actually produces much fruit. And so God divinely prophesies about himself. And he says, just like Lazarus had to die and after 4 days be resurrected so that his resurrection can speak to billions upon billions of people for generations to come. And his resurrection can point to the eternal resurrection for all mankind. The same, in the same way, Jesus Christ is saying, my life is like a seed. I'm a seed that was brought down from heaven and I had to be buried. I had to die so that I can bring about fruit and that I can not only be the one that is resurrected, but I can bring resurrection life, resurrection power, resurrection eternal life to everyone who would believe, everyone that would trust. I could bring about resurrection power. Friends, Jesus Christ is inviting you and me to a resurrection life where you and I can experience dying to ourselves, dying to our own hopes and dreams, and resurrecting to his hopes, his dreams, and his eternal reality. I do believe that Jesus Christ is offering you resurrection today. I believe that he reveals that eternal death is defeated, so you don't have to fear death anymore. In a time when so many have died in the last 2 years, we don't have to fear death anymore because we have the resurrection. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The power of death has been overcome by the power of Jesus' resurrection. That's what he's prophesying right here. He's saying no death will be final because from his life, his death, and his resurrection, you and I will never ever have to face eternal death. We can face eternal life is now our portion. If you're far from God, today's the day to put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ, to allow him, to hear him call you. Could you just hear him call you? Come forth, come out of the grave. But if you're close to God today, I know that there's some areas in our lives, some promises that need to be resurrected. I know that there's some areas in our life that needs a resurrection power of Jesus. There's some areas where you and I have died, and there's maybe some situations that we're like, God, why? Why did it come to this? God's like saying, I want to put my life, my resurrection power in those very areas of your life. Will you open your heart and say, Jesus, come, empower me. Maybe I need to persevere through this bad odor, through the smell of death. I need to persevere through the smell of death in order to take hold of resurrection life. Maybe I need to roll away the stone, that hope in my religious activities. Maybe the hope in the law, I need to roll that away so that I can encounter Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, I need to take away the grave clothes, the things that are still sticking to me from the past. I need to let go of that so that I can live the resurrection life that Jesus has for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, friends, and enjoy this time of worship.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.